Ostlicks crew. I'm Gabby, a film student and hair and makeup trainee. I will be guest hosting this bonus episode where we will talk to hair and makeup designer Jenny Rhodes McLean about what she looks for from a trainee, answering the questions so many want answered. Jenny has been the supervisor on Bridgerton and the designer on the Hulu show The Great, so she knows a thing or two about hiring a fantastic trainee. As a longtime fan of the podcast, I love hearing about people's journeys to where they are now in the industry. I always feel so inspired afterwards. I was excited to see the opportunity of hosting a bonus episode and on a whim made a short presentation to send in. I guess it worked. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can buy us a coffee. The link is in the show notes below this episode. My name is Gabby, and I'm a guest host on the Last Looks podcast, a show where we catch up with the hairstylists and makeup artists working in the film and TV industries around the world. And today on this bonus episode, we're chatting with hair and makeup designer Jenny Rhodes McLean.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
John Blake's Wigs and Facial Hair has been providing the highest quality wigs and facial hair to the film, television, and live theater industries for 15 years. Our human hair wigs are low density and hand-tied on Swiss lace to give the most realistic and natural appearance that is undetectable in HD and 4K content. This small, family-owned company has grown to fill a vital role to artists across the globe. We provide an unparalleled customer service experience that is rare in today's retail market. Our facial hair pieces come in 17 different styles and colors that are designed to precisely mimic natural growth and coloring patterns. They are made from blending human and yak hair in order to create the most realistic texture and appearance of men's facial hair growth. We are grateful to be celebrating 15 years of being an industry leader and a vital part of your artistry.
And now, our feature presentation.
Picture up.
Last looks. Rolling.
And action.
Welcome to the Last Looks podcast, Jenny.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to talk to you. And over the summer, I did meet you, went to your house to do the amazing skill swap session with some of the other trainees you invited. And I loved hearing your enthusiasm about hiring trainees, and you want to give people your skills and knowledge you have, and you're trying to make it more accessible. And that's why I wanted to speak to you today about this topic.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. It was so lovely to meet you and everybody else that came along. I actually felt really uplifted after some of those sessions. They were really fun, and it was so nice to kind of sit around a table with, you know, so many people that I hadn't met before, and just kind of see some new faces. So that was fun. So thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me. So to start off, can you tell us just a bit about who you are and what you kind of do as your job, I guess?
My name is Jenny. I'm a hair and makeup designer. I'm fairly new to the role. I've only done two design jobs. I was a supervisor for a really long time, but I'm really enjoying stepping up to a designer and being a HOD. I'm really passionate about educating and providing opportunities for trainees. And I just love all things hair and makeup and film and TV.
Amazing. So today we're talking a bit about trainees and the role of a trainee. So what is a trainee to you as a designer?
So to me, a trainee is someone who is still learning their craft. They're still building their skills and developing their eye. For me, they're there to observe and learn from day-to-day experiences of, I guess, set and truck life. And in exchange, they provide support to other artists and HODs and supervisors. It's a really essential role, I think. I love my trainees so much. I think they're a vital part of the team. They help us stay organized and work effectively, and they support the health and well-being of the crew. Yeah, I think they keep everything positive and make sure that we can have a well-running team.
And when you're building your team for a production, what do you look for from trainees when you're hiring?
That's such a good question. I guess what I look for in a trainee regarding skill, can kind of vary from project to project. So if I'm working on a period drama and I see an applicant has done a wig course or has knotting skills, then I know that there is an added interest there to the genre of what we're shooting. And if I'm doing an effects job with loads of injuries and the applicant has done a prosthetic course or has pictures of prosthetic applications on their Instagram, for example, I know that they might be a good fit. But for me, more importantly than skill is personality. It's like having a warm and kind personality, someone who's motivated and is going to bring a smile and a positive attitude at 4 a.m. and is going to remain calm under pressure.
Yeah.
I think a natural intuition to be helpful is also a big one. And being able to read the room under certain situations. I guess what I mean by that as an example is if an actor is running lines one morning in the chair, the trainee automatically understands the mood. So they're kind of quiet,
yeah,
or they turn down the music or turn off the music, but they know it's probably not the best time to organize the cupboards. You know, it's having that intuition to read certain situations.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was a trainee, that was a bit of a difficult thing that I think I had to learn because I knew nothing about what I was doing on this bus. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And I did by the end of the day realize, oh, I've done everything wrong. But I guess you learn by the mistakes, but absolutely, you should also...
That's it. That is one of the best ways to learn, though, is by your mistakes. But I think really paying attention to your surroundings and to how everybody, the vibe that everybody else is bringing is really important. You can learn such a lot by observing other people.
Yeah. I think that's what helped me on my first day was I would look at what other people were doing and be like, okay, this is what I should be doing.
And go
right
with
now.
Your gut as well. Trust your gut.
Yeah. So what are you looking for when you go through CVs and resumes when you're doing the hiring process?
Yeah. I actually love looking at CVs. I find them really fascinating. And what was really fun is when thinking about this question, I was looking back at someone that had recently sent me a CV. Actually, someone sent me a CV yesterday and their CV underneath the last email that they sent me was another CV, but their CV was from about 3 years ago. And I compared the two CVs and I actually preferred the first one that they sent me a couple of years ago. And it made me really think about CVs and how we get this visual connection to them. I think as a creative, I'm instinctually visual. So if someone sends me a black and white jam-packed essay without personality, I'm going to be honest, I'm probably not going to read it because I do get sent quite a lot of CVs. But CVs that stand out to me are normally one page, well spaced out, and all of the necessary information is really easy to read and jumps off the page. I think there are so many amazing tools that people can use now to get a bit creative with their CVs, like Canva, for instance, to kind of add a bit of creative flair. But for trainees specifically, I think that the personal summary is essential. People need to make it stand out and use words that describe their personality. You know, are you calm? Are you a problem solver? Do you work under pressure? Are you a team player? I think make your skill section shine. So bullet point, if you've got knotting as a skill or wig making or mold running. And remember that things like having good time management and a positive work ethic and being self-motivated, they're all skills too. Yeah. You know, and even, I know it sounds silly, but even simple things such as making a cracking cup of tea, I think.
Yes.
I think at this level, your skills and your personal summary are just as important as your experience. So trying to paint a picture of your personality, I would, you know, going back to the CV that I was looking at yesterday, I would personally ditch the hobbies section. She had a hobbies section. And, you know, any work experience that isn't related to film and TV, I think it's important to free up some space and have quality over quantity and make sure that the best bits are easy to read at a glance. You know, so many of us in this industry are dyslexic and, you know, tired, and we're trying to find the best fit. So, you know, delete the bar work you did 5 years ago and the chalet host. If people want to know what you did before you entered film and TV, they'll ask you in an interview. Actually, there's one last thing that I will say, and it's definitely not for everybody, but I do feel quite strongly about this. I love a photo on a CV, and and it's not aesthetic. I'm not talking like a model pose or pouts or, you know, I'm not even looking at the makeup you're wearing. I'd actually prefer if you barely had anything on, but just to have a genuine smile that signals warmth and creates an instant connection, I think is so important. And also, if you've seen that person or if you've worked with them before, or if, you know, it will jump off the page. And I think, a genuine warm smile, it goes a long way.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And it kind of, like you say, rejigs your memory.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the two CVs that I sent, which I will actually get back to this person and give them a couple of notes, because in their first CV that they sent me 4 years ago or whenever it was, they had that picture. And it was one of the things that I smiled when I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that's who that person is. And it definitely made an impact.
That's very interesting. Definitely taking notes. Okay, this kind of does lead on to the next question, which is, what are your thoughts on like the rise of social media, like Instagram, for hiring? Because I know you use it. You have used it for a couple projects.
Yeah, I do. I do use it. I started using it in the pandemic, when people were testing for COVID. And what it was is that we couldn't get enough dailies that were free to come and do big crowd days that we had. And we then found out that we could use other projects' tests. So if somebody was on another project that had been tested and they'd got a negative result, it turned out that we could use their negative result. And it meant that it freed up lots more dailies. Otherwise, they had to come in a couple of days before, and then it was like this whole big thing. Sorry, I feel like I've gone off on a tangent, but just to explain like where it kind of came about that in social media.
Yeah.
And what I would do, I was doing big crowd days on Bridgerton at the time when we were trying to get these dailies, and I would put up very specific posts that basically said, I need somebody that can come in on this date and they need to have a test from such and such production or such and such production and be strong with hair skills. So it was very niche what I was asking for. And I found it was the quickest way to find somebody that was free, had the skills and had the test. But it also taught me like this great lesson in kind of finding the best fit for the job, and how to kind of give opportunities to a much wider audience. And it really saved time, you know, when you're on these big long jobs and you're, you know, doing all these hours, you don't really have time. So especially for dailies, I found it so handy.
Yeah. And that's how I got my first job, was through Instagram, because Nadia Stacey had put something on her Instagram. And I just emailed and they were like, can you come in on Saturday?
Amazing. I think it's a really good way to connect with people and give up. Yeah. Like I said, give opportunities to people that, you know, you might not normally interact with. But I will say a quick tip for any trainees that are out there. I think if somebody's putting up a post about a job that, for example, says free this Sunday, I don't know, remote location in Wales, must have strong effects skills. I don't know, they must own an airbrush, for example. If you're replying to that post, make sure that you tell them that you are the right fit for the job. So, hi, Jenny, I'm free for the dates, local to the location. I'm strong with FX and I own an airbrush. Bingo. It's the perfect response because you will be so shocked to hear how many responses I get to really specific posts that say, you know, I'm free or I have more, can I have more information? And then after a text, like after a back and forth exchange, you find out that they're actually not free on the dates, they don't have an airbrush and they can't travel. And it's such a waste of that person's time. And I think after kind of doing the Instagram thing for a couple of years, I've realized that, you know, the people that respond to Instagram shout outs and they've made it easy for me, that they've spelled it out, that they, you know, that they fit the box, it already shows competence that they've properly read the brief and understand the needs of the job. So I think you can really shine by just responding appropriately to some of these Instagram ads.
Yeah, that's some very good advice.
It's okay. That's what this is for.
Yeah, and that actually leads us on to our next question, which is, what is a mistake that you think a lot of trainees, or I guess we can also say like newbies or people new to the industry make?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a few I can think of. A big one that I see a lot is being closed off to different ways of working. I think phrases that spring to mind is, when I was on my last job, we didn't do it like that. Or I was taught to do it this way. And I think it's really key to go into each job with an open mind. Like, as a trainee, you're there to learn. So embracing new approaches and protocols, I think, is key. And yeah, it just expands your skill set.
Yeah.
I think making things harder than necessary. You're not expected to have a photographic memory. So write things down, take photographs, create a WhatsApp group, or do quick voice notes so that you can make notes later. I think, for instance, I don't know, if you're doing your first coffee run, make sure that you write down everybody's orders so that you know how many sugars Lucy takes in her tea. You know that Joe is lactose intolerant. And, you know, so you don't have to ask every single time. You can just say, you know, would anybody like a drink? And you kind of know, and you got it to hand. Yeah. And I think taking pictures of people's stations, tools, equipment, and disposables that they use, and that way you can restock things without having to ask. Or, you know, if you're asked to clean somebody's station after they've done a call, you can put things back in the right way because you have a photograph of it. I think it's really, really important. And the more information that you collect, the more that you can be productive with your time. And yeah, so the more information you collect, the more you can be, you know, productive with the time.
I guess taking initiative.
Yeah, initiative, exactly. That is exactly the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You show huge initiative and you have, you know, have that all in your back pocket.
Yeah. I think a mistake that I made was I wasn't confident enough to kind of do that. I think I just was like, someone needs to tell me what to do, because I was just so overwhelmed with, I was like, this is this giant makeup bus and I don't know what to do.
Exactly. You get that.
But I guess it's kind of different from being a trainee to being a daily, because you'll kind of get that. You can create the relationship, but as a daily, you're kind of just being thrown in there and you're like, hi guys, I'm here to help. I don't know where nothing is and I'm going to kind of help you today. But it kind of felt like they were helping me more than I was helping them.
I think in circumstances like that, you know, just take it really back to basics and you know, offer to help carry bags. I think ask if people need water. I mean, need teas, need coffees. I think, you know, just offer to do anything that feels obvious or is kind of caretaking. I think, you know, if you're worried about stepping on toes or if you're worried that, you know, just ask the questions or take it, you know, back to basics.
Yeah. Right. Well, the next question again links into itself. What advice would you give a trainee before their first day?
This is a good question. Take your time to pack a set bag, but I would do it a few days beforehand so that you feel really prepared. And ask if there is any specific kit that you need to take. As a trainee, I personally wouldn't expect my trainees to bring any kit apart from, you know, a very kind of small setback that kind of has all the immediate bits that you would think of.
Yeah.
But don't leave it until the last minute. Kind of really have a good plan about how you're going to pack this setback so that it's great. The other thing, I think just getting a good night's sleep is so valuable. And I know that when people are nervous, you know, I still get days, nights when I'm nervous, but sleep is so key to your stamina throughout the rest of the day. So, you know, take a hot bath, sleepy tea, whatever you've got to do. Make sure that you're prepared, that your maps are on, that you've read your call sheet, but do it early. Make sure that your, you know, that your plan is that you are asleep by a decent hour, that you are getting 8 hours at least.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, sleep is key, which I know is hard to do when people are nervous.
Especially with if you've got like an early call time.
Totally. I mean, work back from when you need to leave the house. Make sure that you're getting, you know, your 8 hours. And then what time do you need to kind of starting to wind down? And then give yourself some buffer to, if you can't get to sleep straight away. But do all the things to try and set you up for a decent night's sleep. And shake off the imposter syndrome. I know that it's something that we all get. But you can't be an imposter if you're a beginner. You know, the whole point of being a trainee is that you're still learning. So it shouldn't even apply to you. I know that people get nervous and it's only natural to have that energy, but you are still learning. So, you know, give yourself a bit of a break. If you're walking through the door with a positive energy and a smile and you're, you know, you're showing will and you're working hard, you're already nailing it. So I think just take a deep breath and just go for it.
Yeah. And I guess people's moods reflect other people's
moods. Yeah, absolutely.
There's probably a more poetic way of saying that. But if someone walks in a bad mood, you're eventually going to be like, oh, now I'm in a bad mood.
Absolutely. Like, you know, people's energies can be really, you know, you take on other people's energies and emotions. And I think especially in a female-dominated industry, part of the industry where, you know, we're all dealing with hormones. I'm perimenopausal and I've actually been doing a lot of work on hormones just recently because I am at that stage in life where things are starting to change. And I think tracking, if you don't track your period and your hormones, I know this is totally going off onto another subject, but I do actually think it's really important that you know, where you are, if you're feeling emotional, you know, is there a reason why? Because you're right, you're in a small space, sometimes on a truck and, you know, with other women who are also, you know, maybe cycling women, maybe not, but, you know, it does have a big, you know, knock on effect. So
yeah,
I think being aware of stuff like that is really important.
Yeah.
I totally went off on a tangent with the hormones.
That's all right. It is important, I think, because it really does affect people. I've been talking a lot about it with my friends recently because we realistically only have 1 week where we are normal, if that's even a thing. So, it definitely has an effect.
No, it definitely does. I mean, I have open conversations with my team at the beginning of jobs and say, can everybody just be, you know, mindful about where they are. And, you know, if you need to take a minute because, you know, hormonally you're in a different place, like, you know, do that. And also be open to talking with your colleagues about it because, you know, not everybody's a mind reader and, you know, we just need to give each other some grace, I think, sometimes with things like that.
Yeah. And I think it's important not to think of it as a taboo subject.
Definitely.
It's like 50% of I think it's 50% of the population goes through it, really. And we need to be more open about it.
Definitely, 100%.
Right. So my final question is, what is a piece of advice you were given earlier in your career that kind of stuck with you?
I'm going to say that Jan Archibald said this to me, but I actually can't remember. I think it was Jan. But she said to me, don't run, but walk with a purpose. And I guess what she meant by that is that so often we are under time pressure in this industry and asked to do things quickly. And as much as you want to do things time effectively as possible, you know, we don't want to dilly-dally. You know, I always make sure that I'm in and out on checks as in like a ninja, you know. But you don't want to rush and you don't want to make mistakes. So
yeah,
you walk with a purpose, but don't run.
Very good. Well, that's all the questions I have for you. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I do.
Exciting.
What would you, being a trainee, what would a piece of advice be for you to give to other fellow trainees? What's something that you've learned in your time as a trainee that you could pass on?
I think what we said earlier about taking an initiative, questions are good, but sometimes they can be too much, I think. You know when to stop asking questions, or else you're just going to seem not confident, I think. And also have the confidence. I'm contradicting myself.
I think it's striking a balance. I think you nailed it, but I think...
Yeah. You need to have the confidence to ask a question when you know you need to ask a question, but you also need to know when not to ask a question.
I think in essence, you said all the right things. I think you're right. Asking too many questions, I think it's also knowing the right time to ask a question.
Yes.
Is this a good time? Or is this going to, you know, or is this person busy? Or is this, you know, there are no stupid questions. But if it's really obvious what you should be doing, you know, you could say instead of it being a question, you could be like, I saw that the wig stock cupboard was a bit of a mess. So I'm going to go and tidy it unless there's anything more important, you know, that you think I should do at the moment, or, you know, or if there's anything you want me to prioritize. I think, you know, it's, you're saying that you've seen something, that you're going to go do it, and you're letting that person know that if there is something more, if there's something that should be prioritized first, then that's fine. You'll jump on that.
Yeah, definitely. Knowing when to ask a question, like if the artist is in the middle of doing, really, excuse me.
I think just thinking first before you ask a question, you know, is it the right time? Is it appropriate? Could I frame it in a way where it doesn't, you know, could I frame it in a different way?
Yeah.
You know, and is this person the right person to ask? You know, could you ask somebody else? Yes. Is there a junior that could help you with that question? So, you know, it's not always that you need to ask the HOD or the supervisor, or, you know, that is there somebody else that I could not bother with this question, but that could help me with this question, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's stopping and thinking, you know, is this the right time? Is this the right person? You know, is this the right question? Yeah. Taking your time to do those things. Has your journey as a trainee been as you expected? Is there anything that's really surprised you?
Well, I didn't start out wanting to be a hair and makeup trainee. I applied for uni to study film production, which I am still doing. And then I got the job on Snow White. I got to go to set, which I think is a pretty cool thing for a trainee. Not all of them get to go to set. I kind of shown everything about the hair and makeup department. And I was like, wow. I'd like to do this every day. And that's kind of how it began. And from there, I've tried to build my knowledge of the department and what kind of goes around into it. And I've worked on student films, some independent films. But yeah, it's not the journey I thought it would be. Because after that first day on set, I was like, right, well, I'm dropping out of uni and I'm going to go do a makeup course now. But my mom was like, you can't do that. You've already got accommodation. We've paid the deposit. We're not doing that. So I did stick on with the course. So I haven't done as much as I would like to have done. But I think I also need to remind myself sometimes that I am 19 and I have a lot of time to get somewhere.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to all happen overnight.
No.
That's something I need to remind myself sometimes.
And it sounds like you're building a really great foundation for going into the industry. It's so cool that you did that job on Snow White and got so inspired that you were going to change direction. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So another question, when do you think it's time for a trainee to kind of make the change over to becoming a junior?
Yeah, this is such an interesting topic because something that I feel like gets talked about so much. It's kind of really, it's a hot topic at the moment in the industry. First of all, I would say that you could be a junior on one job and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a junior level on another job.
Yeah.
So I think if you are really itching to step up to a junior because you need to financially or because you feel like your confidence, you feel like you're ready, I think try and find a job where you're really going to excel in that role. So, if your strength is hair or wigs, I think step up to that role in a heavy wigs and hair job. There's no point in trying to step up to a junior when your strengths are in hair and wigs on an effects job or a contemporary, military job or something that isn't quite within your niche.
Yeah.
I think you're ready to step up to a junior when you would feel confident taking on artists on your own and when you feel like you understand set, when you understand standing by and you have the confidence to effectively take care of an artist and you have a well-rounded skill set. I think a lot of it is confidence and just being very professional, especially, with your actors.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people will get a lot of experience in theatre on like the West End with wigs and that's how they will step up to become a junior.
Oh, that's interesting. I think it really helps you with speed.
Yes.
I think it really helps you with speed. But I think the thing to kind of take on board is that, with every different genre, whether it's film, TV, theatre, immersive performances, whatever it is, again, there's a different way of doing things. And I think with theatre, they wrap hair differently. And I think, when you're watching theatre, it's from a distance. And there might be different things that they need to, like different goals, I guess, on theatre, you want to make sure that it doesn't come off, that they can do all their acrobats and their dancing and, whatever it is. And, there's not a hair out of place. Sometimes they're using cans and cans of hairspray. And on a film, you kind of want something to look really natural. You want it to have a little bit of movement. So I definitely do think it can help with speed, but I think just to bear in mind that there are different, you'll learn different things within theatre to kind of film a TV. But
And also the process of being on a set is wildly different to being in a theatre. Yes,
definitely.
Especially like all the other departments. There's a lot more departments on a film.
Understanding what everybody does on a film set, I think is so, so crucial.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm lucky in doing the film production course.
Yeah.
I know what everyone does.
Yeah, definitely gives you an angle where you get to understand everybody's role. Yeah, really important. Yeah.
I can be like, I know what that is. That's a light meter.
Yeah, so it really is important. Really adds to your skill set.
Well, thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining. It's been lovely having this chat and I look forward to seeing your new projects that you're working on.
Thank you. And I'm really looking forward to where your career goes and seeing all the great things you're going to do.